Like when I got, it was like a sauna up there. It was warm, wasn't it? And I got a little bit worried. I'm used to having that water cold, and then we heated it up, and it was kind of boiling. And, you know, what a day. Today is, it's Pentecost. It is the celebration of the church. And what an amazing gift that we were able to give Jesus in this baptism of honoring him and worshiping him and praising his name. And Elijah, you, man, you caught me on fire up there on what you said in your testimony. Now we celebrate Jesus and his birth, and the whole world celebrates with us. We celebrate his resurrection, and most of the world recognizes Easter as a very special day. But today, it's Pentecost. And hardly anyone really recognizes that. And yet, it was one of the most important days because it is the birth of the church. And God has given us this marvelous, wonderful opportunity to be a part of it. In the book of Acts, the second chapter is where we read about the beginning of this church. In the first chapter, we see that the apostles were gathered together and they were called to be witnesses to the whole world. So he told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait. And wait they did. Then he ascended into heaven. And so in Jerusalem, they went, they gathered together. And usually at this point, I pull out the scripture in Acts, the second chapter, and I'll begin to read to you. But I'm going to do something a little bit different. We're going to see a dramatization of Acts, the second chapter. Watch this.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked,
"Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?
Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia,
Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene.
Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs.
We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues."
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another,
"What does this mean?"
Some, however, made fun of them and said,
"They have had too much wine."
Ha ha ha! Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd.
Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke.
The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs,
which God did among you
through him, as you yourselves know.
This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge.
And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him,
I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear.
For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles,
brothers, what shall we do?
Peter replied,
repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
Isn't it interesting? Is that what they thought was these apostles were drunk because there was joy? Joy? Are we not allowed to have joy about our walk and our faith in Christ? It's like the three prospectors who found a rich vein of gold in California. They didn't want everyone to know about what they found. So what did they do? They went into the town and they wanted to claim their mine, but they didn't want them to know about what they have found. So they made a commitment, a vow to each other not to say anything to anyone. And so as they got their equipment and they were leaving the town, all these people were following them. Why would they do that? Because they figured it out. There was this joy all over them. They had to strike gold. And here comes this whole caravan. It's like a famous motivator speaker that he was asked to speak at a funeral conference of undertakers. Boy, wouldn't that be exciting, huh? And he was asked to talk to them about a subject that was very difficult, but yet to motivate them because he wanted to tell them how they could be so sad in spite of having a $20,000 plus funeral. Or what about the little boy that was in church, a perfect kid, just wonderful little kid. He would listen to his mom and dad, and every once in a while he'd just stand in between them and look behind him, and he would smile at the people. But that smile was kind of contagious. Everybody started smiling back. When the mother saw this, she got kind of upset, so she grabbed his ear, twisted it, and made him sit down. And he started to cry and get fidgety, and she says, "There, now you're doing what you should do." Isn't it sad that we're not allowed to show that joy, that excitement of being followers of Jesus Christ? Last night, I went to a, what is it, who are they? Rattlers, a Rattlers indoor football game. The people are nuts. Yeah. They're crazy. I mean, they were screaming. There's 15,000 people going out of their mind. Would you pray for someone for me? A guy named Zorak. He was a couple rows in front of me. And you know me well enough that I wasn't going to let this opportunity get by me. And he had this kilt, and he had these boots that he had on, and then he had these wrist somethings with spikes all out of it, and then he had this beard that was all, you know, two beards going down and tied and bows and everything, and I think, okay, I want to find out who this guy is. And so he came up to me because the Rattlers scored and they were all excited. He gave me a five. He goes, "Man, this is like being in church." Oh. I like being in church. He goes, "I'm a minister." "You are? You really are a minister?" Yeah. He couldn't stop coming up to me to talk to me. And I told my great nephew, says, "I'm about to invite this guy home." That'll freak my wife out because, you know, and this guy walking in. But man, they were excited. It's like, all right, now they're getting ready to start. They go, "Arizona, here are the Rattlers!" And they would scream and yell. And I go, "I'm going to start at the church." It says, "CFA. Happy birthday. Here is the 21st century church." You know, Pentecost says that the church found and discovered the joy unspeakable. That's why Paul, when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Why did he say it three times? He said it, I want you to get it. I want you to understand this, is that there is joy. Pentecost was a once in history event when the church was born. I'm going to give you three things that we learned from Pentecost. By the way, did you get your Pentecostal evangel? Good. Read it. If there's some left out there, take some and give them to your friends. But first of all, the church was created by God. Did you hear that? It was created by God. The church is immortal. Before the very foundation of the earth, he had Chandler First Assembly of God on his mind. He was thinking about us. So Jesus came into this world after his death, after his burial, after his resurrection, the church was formed. Now, I want you to know that's a whole lot of afters, isn't it? And they're amazing afters that they wanted to have this happen. God wanted it to happen because he wanted to start a movement that absolutely cannot be stopped. The church begun. Sometimes what happens, though, we think that the disciples got together there in that upper room, and they called for this board meeting because they're going to start this church. So they started to talk. Now, my board meetings last maybe an hour, hour and a half. This board meeting lasts 10 days. My board members say, don't go that way, Pastor. Right. 10 days, 160 times longer. And so they came across talking about what was going on. And maybe what happened is that James, he got up and he says, I'm going to make a motion. Let's start a church. So they talked about that, what the church was going to be, what it should look like, and get all the bylaws and everything. And John says, I'm going to second that motion. Let's take a vote. And they took that vote, and it was second and carried, and the church was established. No, it didn't happen that way, did it? Where it really happened is that you hear what that was said in the reading of that text and the dramatization of it. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing and violent wind came from where? From heaven. You see, I love that the Lord's Prayer says, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the church was not begun by some brilliant minds of theologians. The church began by the very heart and the mind of God. The beauty of it, it's at his church. And we are so blessed to be a part of it. In fact, we are invited to be a part of it. You know, it is the invitation of invitations. We should wake up on a Sunday morning and say, I cannot wait. You know, you remember when you were a kid, you wake up on Christmas morning, and you probably didn't sleep. You couldn't wait. My kids, they knew they were not allowed to go out in the living room because they had to come to the bedroom first, pound on the door. Dad, Mom, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's Christmas, you know. And then be all woken up. I would love to have your kids pounding on your doors of your bedroom and saying, hey, Mom and Dad, it's Sunday. Let's get ready to go to church. You know, I kind of have a feeling that some of these students, as excited as they were about this baptism, they may be just doing that. So, you know, church, don't get upset when your kid's saying, we can't miss. We want to go to church. You remember several years ago that there was a radio station ads were running these commercials about some major denominations. On both sets of commercials, they were saying almost the very same thing. They were advertising for the members to come back. Maybe they heard like this. It's something like one commercial actually said something like this. It says, we drifted away from the foundation upon which the church was built. And now we're returning. We're turning back to the Word of God. Please come back home again. That was the basic commercial. Anybody remember that? Something like that? I do. I remember these ads that were going on several years ago. Interesting, though, because at that time, many of the churches were looking at the trends in the world today, and they were trying to line the church up with the trend of the world. It is so wrong, isn't it? You see, the church has never been the most popular institution in the world. Because the church goes counter to a popular culture. You see, the church says, if someone hits you in the cheek, turn the other cheek. God's word says, if someone asks you to go to a mile, you go 2 miles. The word of God tells the church is that you are to serve, not look at the being served. You see, God's word is saying the church was to stand for that truth. to be unshakable in its presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, you see, God created the church. Now listen, it's not this building stuff. I love our church. I love the beauty of it. I love how comfortable it is. It's 100 degrees outside. And we're sitting in this air conditioning. It feels comfortable. I don't want to sit in 100 degrees. However, the church is you, the people that is around us. And when his word says, when he created the universe, he said it was good. But when he created mankind, he said it was very good. That's why I look at the creation of the church and say, it is very good. Good. You see, the thing is that he wants us to know that it is his church. Secondly, the mission of the church is to communicate the love of God. You know, I love the idea of Pentecost. I love the idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I could remember so very clearly than when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a 10-year-old and what God did in my life. It transformed my life. But I want you to understand it is that even though there was that power, it is not about the power. It is about the communication. He's giving you power to be a witness. He just didn't give you power so you could flex your spiritual muscles. He's giving you that power to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose of Pentecost, the purpose of the church is communication. They had a problem with communication back then because there were so many different people in Jerusalem. And so they had this baptism, the Spirit that fell upon them, that they were able to communicate a message. It is what we have to say. We have all types of messages going across the airways these days. We have people saying everything that they want to say without any kind of responsibility. We have the Word of God and the truth that He wants us to share with the lost world that would set them free. You see, it is to communicate. That is the mission of the church. Let me ask you something. How many of you ever heard of a man named Rockin' Roland Stewart? Anybody remember him? Now, this guy was kind of peculiar, but if you've ever watched the Super Bowl or any sporting events, somehow he was in the front row and he was holding up a sign at 316. How many of you have ever seen him? You have. And that this guy was there in this Rockin' Roland Stewart, he has an interesting testimony. You see, he was a drunk and an alcoholic. God touched his life, and he thought, I got to share this message. So what he began to do is that he says, if I could get into a sporting event, what I will do is that I will hold up a sign, John 3:16. And he has a shirt there that says, Jesus saves. And that he would travel all over the country. He's done that for years. That he and his wife Margaret and a friend William James, they traveled in this beat up old van 55,000 miles a year that they would travel. And they would try to raise money to get tickets and get in those sporting events to be able to show that sign. John 3:16. And I wonder how many thousands, if not millions of people, and I wonder how many people kind of looked up and Googled or in their Bibles, John 3:16, and they saw, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. You see, that may not be your thing to be able to just go so public or travel all over the country to be a part of a game. To be able to hold up a sign. Some people be able to go door to door, knocking on doors and be able to share their faith or go out in the street and start preaching to share their faith. That may not even be your thing. It's good to do if you could do it. If you can't do that, we're not asking you to do something that you're uncomfortable with. But what the Word of God says is that He's given us this message to be able to share. And we're able to share it by the very walk in which we have in Jesus Christ. People see something different about us. Zorak could not stop coming to me. That guy just kept coming up. Four rows back, I was behind him. He kept coming up to be able to say something to me, to give me a high five, to talk to me, because he seen something that was different. And what I really believe is that Zorak seen that I was accepting him and all of his weirdness. It was driving me crazy. I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to share a message with him because Zorak was open, because he was accepted, because I didn't look at him to condemn him. I looked at him to just to build a friendship, to start talking to him. You see, we have a message, church, that will set people free from the bondage of their sin. God wants you to be that witness, because, see, that's what He called us to do, being a witness. See, the third thing that we learn from Pentecost is the goal of the church is to establish a fellowship that is very unique. We all like to be a part of something that is very unique. And if God created it, it is not just good, it is very good. And when I hear that, I'm saying, I'm all in. Are you? Are you all in? See, God, He wants us to be able to share this message. When Peter shared that message, 3,000 people came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. There was so much excitement that was growing around them, is that it ended up growing to 5,000. And then it began to grow that much more exponentially, that people were coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Why was that happening? Because they came out of the world of religious rituals and superstitions. They came out of the world of selflessness and greed and dishonesty. They found out that there is a group of people that they could come together with that would accept them right where they are, to care for what is going on in their life. You see, church, that yes, I love to be around people who are mature in their walk in Christ. I love to be able to talk about the book of Revelation to people, or their favorite scriptures, and to get into the meat of that word. But you know what? I love to be able to talk to people who don't have a clue, who are searching because they sense that there is something that is missing within their lives. And He has called us to be that kind of people, that unique fellowship, that fellowship of believers. It is a society that accepts all. Someone was asking a very popular minister, and said, wait a minute, what is this about your faith? You're saying that Jesus is the only way. That's kind of narrow, isn't it? And he looked at him and he says, yes, Jesus is the only way. But what we have unique is that it is for everyone. There is no exceptions. It doesn't matter what your race is, what your status in life is, what your sins are. It is for everyone. He desires to bring that uniqueness of that fellowship. I love to be around people who have, well, maybe I shouldn't say it this way. Is that they come out of a life of debauchery, of sin. And God transformed their life. And you see the newness. It's like they were walking in absolute darkness and a light came on. They go, oh, I could see. I could see. And all of a sudden, they don't feel that burden of sin upon them anymore. They sense that forgiveness of a loving God. And now God has given them a purpose. God has given them a direction. God has given their life meaning. That's what the body of Christ is all about. It's not that we come together in a church to be able to sit dressed up and looking nice and that and everything is fine. Nothing's going on in our lives. But that's not the truth, is there? Look around us. And there are people all around us that are going through some very difficult times. Their lives are being challenged. Their children are being challenged. Their marriages are being challenged. Their faith is being challenged. Their finances are being challenged. And God wants you to know, here is the answer. Right here within the Word of God, I have something for you to be able to set you free because I created this. This is what we get to be a part of. God has something very special, something very unique. You see, what he knows is love trumps over hate every single time. The church must be that. The church must show that love to a world around us. We are to be a different people, a different culture. An oasis in the middle of the desert. Welcome to Arizona. We are to be a shade in the summer heat. We are to be a cup of cold water when we're thirsty. A place to come to know that we will not be rejected. That you will be accepted. That you will be loved. In fact, you will be called a brother and a sister. That you will be a part of a family of God. What we're saying is that you will belong to something that is much bigger than you. Pentecost tells us the world changed after Pentecost because the church's influence upon that world. If our world needs that kind of influence, it is today, isn't it? More than ever before. You've heard me say time in and time out. Is that I'm really not concerned of what happens in the White House. I'm more concerned what happens in God's house. Because when God's house lines up, when God's house knows its mission, its call, its purpose, everything around us will fall in place. It will not stop what God wants to do. Governments rise and fall. Rise and fall, but God's church is still established. It is still well, and it's still alive. I want my worship team, if you would come up here, please. I'm going to share something with you. When I talk to you about the Roland Stewart, I'm going to add something to you about his life. Sadly, with the increasing notoriety that he had in his life, as being seen on TV everywhere, is that he kind of fell away from his faith and he ended up in prison. You may ask, what in the world happened? You see, I loved his heart. I loved his passion. I loved his willingness to be able to go and share the message. But what concerned me was that he was always away from the body of Christ. He was not a part of a fellowship of believers. And nothing survives on its own. You've heard me say before, it's in physics, and anything left unto itself, it dies. You see, church, we need each other. We need the body of Christ. You cannot stand alone. Look at the person beside you and saying, you need me. And I need you, and you, and you, and you. Don't you love saying that? You know, look at that, but yeah, you need me. You know? We need each other. Because in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25 says this, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. I'm always intrigued when people say, well, I have church out in the country with nature. And you can. What I'm telling you is that when you don't have that relationship with people who could hold you accountable, who could pray with you, who could encourage you, you're out there all by yourself. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Oh, church. God created the church. Pentecost is the reason why we are together. This morning, you may be here. Maybe you feel all alone. You're wore out. You're tired. People have taken advantage of you. Life has been unfair to you. Welcome to church, because God has a place for you to be a part of, to love you, to care for you, to stand beside you. And maybe your life is doing good. You're not in a crisis. Hallelujah! For a moment, life is fine. But there's something that you sense is missing. There isn't that joy. There isn't that sense of contentment of which God could give us. I'm always amazed that I could be content when I have much, and I could be content when I have nothing. How is that? It is because I have everything. I have Him. He is there because it is His sustaining power in which He has given to us. He'll say, we'll take you through it. His word says, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will walk through it. He tells us that the smell of smoke won't even be upon us as we walk through the fire. Why? Because He's promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. He's promised that He will place people in our lives, each other. You may have told that person beside you, they need you. But I want you to know, you need them as well. Do not catch and get caught up in that lie that we can get by. We don't need the church. We don't need people in our lives. We can handle it ourselves. I'll do it my way. Never works out. We need each other. And with the help of the body of Christ, through the work of His Spirit, through the guidance of His Word, we can have that fullness of life, that life more abundant. What I love is that we can be called that family of God. That's who we are. The family of God, together as one. Would you stand with me? Would you bow your head to prayer? Heavenly Father, this morning we celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate the beginning of the church. I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit in which we could walk and utilize as a part of our spiritual journey. But Lord, I thank you as well as for the body of Christ. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ who were there when we felt all alone, who prayed over us, who encouraged us. When we fell, they picked us up without condemnation. dust, shook the dust off our feet and move forward in our walk with you. Lord, we need you. If you are here this morning, and I'm talking to you about your walk in Christ, and you know that you drifted. You kind of wanted to stand on your own. You thought you could do it without involving other people. It could be pride or embarrassment. I don't know what it could be, but I do know it's a technique of Satan to be able to keep you separated from the body of Christ. He's calling you home. Come on back. If I'm speaking to you this morning, what I ask of you to do, it's just look up at me and say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? Would you look at me if you, I'm talking to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right now, heaven is rejoicing because the body of Christ is growing and becoming stronger. If you've been following Christ, but you know you need a closer walk with Him, you haven't been doing it very well on your own, but you're saying, Pastor, would you remember me in prayer that I will walk with Him and be more a part of what He has established as that body of Christ? Would you remember me in prayer? Look at me if I'm talking to you. Thank 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 you. We're in this together. Would you take the hand of a person beside you? We're going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer that I believe that God has called us to pray in this together, because family of God, we are in this journey together. Heavenly Father, it is in that name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it is through the power of your Spirit. I pray for this body of Christ. Father, I celebrate those who are renewing their faith with you. Father, I celebrate those who say they want a deeper walk, a greater commitment. Father, I believe, truly I believe that you have established a church where we are able to reach this crazy, mixed up world that seems like it's more divided than ever before. But you don't divide, Lord. You unite. You bring us together, that we are one body, one spirit, and one mind. For we are called a child of God, and we are called the body of Christ. For this is Pentecost Church. This is the body of Christ. And for that, we give you the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Your name, your name.